When you hear this story, or any story about Jesus, how do you picture Jesus in your head? What does he look like? It's so obvious and easy for us to make Jesus look like us. It helps us to connect to God. It helps us to find things in common with Jesus. And as a white person, it's been easy for me to imagine Jesus looking just like me. I mean, it's how artists have portrayed him for 1,500 years or more. But the truth is, Jesus didn't have blue eyes or flowing hair like me, or white skin like me. This is, at times, my favorite and at times my least favorite story in the Bible. There are a few different ways that we could look at this. Maybe Jesus was doing what he often does, and he's teaching, and he's kind of using a strange way to teach, and he's deliberately saying something that he doesn't really mean to make his point. Maybe Jesus was just kind of feeling playful that day, and he was kind of playing around and, you know, joking with this woman. Oh, no, I'm not going to cure your daughter. But maybe, and I think there's a real possibility, that Jesus was just being a jerk here. For whatever reason, maybe Jesus was tired or angry or fed up. But for whatever his reason, when this woman comes and asks him to heal her daughter, after hearing that he's been traveling all around and healing everybody and curing the sick and making blind people see and crippled people walk, she comes to him and she says, "Please help my daughter." And Jesus says, "No, I have to help my own people first." The fact is, Jesus was wrong. It's been another tough week. We heard about more terrorist attacks. We've heard about more people getting hurt. And there have been deaths that haven't made the news. This is one of those times when planning ahead has gotten in my own way. So weeks ago, months ago, I planned out that we were doing this whole series on the Be the Church campaign that the UCC has. We have the banner out front, and I'm working my way through each of the statements. And this week, we ended up with Reject Racism. Well, just last week, I was talking about the difference between races in this country and how we need to stand up for people of color who are being disproportionately killed by police. And so this was another tough week, and more tough things to talk about, and I just didn't want to talk about it anymore. I'd rather just come and offer comfort and let us all just be together. I just wanted to avoid it. And well, just like Jesus, I was wrong. So we'll continue our series, and we'll talk about rejecting racism. The truth is, the idea of rejecting racism is a good start, but it's not enough. It's simple enough for us to say, "Oh, racism's wrong, let's not do that. Okay, move on, what's the next statement?" Jesus, in this story, recognized that he was wrong. He admits his mistakes, and he changes his ways and does something different. The first thing we need to do is recognize that racism is real, that racism exists in our country, in our society. And we also need to recognize that many of us in this room benefit from racism, from systems of oppression and inequality that we don't notice, that aren't obvious to us. because they don't stop our process. They don't stop our progress. They aid it. So we need to name racism. We need to call it out. We need to reject it, but we also need to actively oppose racism. And like Jesus, we need to change our ways. We need to work to make a difference, to change it. So what can we do? Well, there are some simple things we could do. We can look at the organizations that we give money to in the church, where our outreach budget goes. We can examine if there are organizations out there that actively oppose racism, that fight to change the systems, and we can consider giving money to them. But most of what we have to do is harder than that. Most of what we have to do is takes us out of our comfort zone, brings us to a place where we don't want to go. It's like me preaching about this. It's uncomfortable. It's not fun. It's not easy. So I think we need to consider ways that we can raise our public witness, ways that we can raise our voices to let people outside of this church, outside of this building, know how we feel. And we need to do it in a way that happens before more people lose their lives. Not only at vigils, not only in response to violence, but in ways that can hopefully help prevent it. So the Be the Church banner is a good first step. But we need to start considering if we're brave and audacious enough to consider putting a Black Lives Matter sign in front of the church. We need to consider whether we're brave enough to begin showing up to protests and speak outs as a public witness. We need to consider whether we're brave enough to start talking with each other and talking to our friends and acquaintances and coworkers, and calling out racism when we see it. When we hear that racist joke, finding a way to say, hey, that's not right. I'm not going to just politely chuckle and walk away uncomfortably. Or when people say all lives matter, figuring out a way to say, but right now, Black lives are under crisis. And we need to be talking about Black lives and brown lives and oppression and racism. And we need to amplify voices of color in our own lives. It often feels futile for me as a white man to stand up here and talk about these things, because I have my point of view and I also have the choice to walk away from it, to ignore it if I want to. But there are so many other voices out there. There are writers and speakers and activists. And we need to start seeking out those voices. So my plan this coming fall is to provide opportunities for that, to have book groups and Bible studies and conversations where we can get together and we can listen to other people, where we can reach out to people of color and not to say we're going to save you, but to say lend us your voice so that we can be saved from the systems that we benefit from the systems that we've created. Jesus may not look like me, but I can see myself in him when he makes mistakes. Jesus may not look like me, but I can see him in myself when I'm willing to admit my mistakes and when I'm willing to change my ways. Jesus may not have had blue eyes, but his eyes were open to the systems of oppression that surrounded him. Jesus' hair may not have been long and flowing, but he echoed the cries of the prophets to let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Jesus made a mistake, but he learned from it, and he changed his ways. I pray that once again, his example will be a lesson to us. And we can find ways to be empowered, encouraged, and equipped to play our part, to not only reject racism, but to be a public witness to help destroy it. And I hope you'll join me on that journey. Amen.